Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Got a lot going on tonight. A very interesting baseball evening in New York. We are currently on an active New York 7-game losing streak. The Yankees have obviously lost 4 in a row, including last night to the Angels. And the Mets, after an off day, are going to try to snap their 3-game losing streak in Atlanta against the Braves. Coming up this hour, we'll spend more time on that series, the importance of tonight, and if the Mets have truly conquered the House of Horrors. But something happened yesterday that is deeply concerning. I know it concerned Tiki Barber. Mm-hmm. It concerned many of my friends at home. And it was a text message that was revealed by Sean Morash from our very own Tommy Lugauer. For those that listen to our show religiously, you may have noticed that Tommy wasn't here the last couple of days. Earned vacation, no problem with that. Went out to L.A. As he said earlier, he met his nephew. And that's awesome and wonderful. But while there, he attended a Dodgers game. Mm. Again, still no issue. Like, that's totally up my alley. A little baseball game. And not only that, Tommy sent me a video of him at the Dodgers game. He sat in the Evan seats, which I love. Upper deck, top of the building. So far, so good. But it was revealed by Sean, kind of disgusting that Sean did this, that Tommy had such a good time in L.A., he texted, "The park is awesome. Totally different vibe than New York."
Yeah, we're going to need an explanation on that.
Because that doesn't that sound like he likes L.A. better?
When you say awesome and then say totally different from New York, it just gives the implication that it's better, that you prefer it, that somehow the weather, inflates your enjoyment. Your brain gets distracted by the awesomeness of the weather in California and the beauty of the Dodgers blue. And no longer are you a Met fan or are you still a Met fan?
I am 100% a Met fan. I will explain myself. So for those that have not been out to Dodger Stadium, obviously through the television, you could see how beautiful it is with the hills. It's a great setting.
Right, except you might get killed, as Evan explained to us yesterday.
True story.
What?
Yeah, yeah. The people of L.A. are disgusting. Not the people of L.A. The people who attend Dodger games are mostly disgusting. My story and my claim about how dangerous it is was backed up by a caller who talked about how Dodger fans openly talked about stabbing him at the game. And I hate to bring down this segment and make it darker than it already is, but numerous people have died attending Dodger games because they've been killed by Dodger fans.
Right. Like, and I was
that's literally happened, so I'm not making that up. So when Tiki says that, I just want you to counter knowing the facts that what I'm saying is not hyperbole.
So I was at the Dodgers-Giants game, which obviously is a big-time rivalry.
Sure.
And there were a lot of Giant fans there. The Giants won the game. So, but I didn't get that vibe. I got it maybe because they won the title and they're more like chilled and lax and relaxed.
Day game?
Night game.
Ooh.
It was not. Interesting. Yeah, it was just, it wasn't like bad like that at all. So the vibe I was getting is like, it's kind of like old school there. Like the lines aren't very long. It just has a different, more like laid back kind of vibe than here. Not better, just different. That's why I use the word different.
Yeah, but
better.
The reason why different sounds better is that the previous sentence was park is awesome.
It is.
So if something is different, that means the opposite of awesome is not awesome, which makes me think that you're kind of crapping on the Mets.
No, Dodger Stadium is one of the best stadiums in all of baseball. To me, it's a destination. And you know me, I don't even go to the Citi Field that often. Right. I certainly don't travel to go to games. But this one, this was my idea. I wanted to go to Dodger Stadium.
Did you buy your own tickets?
No. No, I actually, I owe my wife money. Thank you for reminding me. I didn't buy my own food either. But I had good conversation. Which is my gift to everybody.
What was the conversation about? It wasn't about the game.
Well, I was talking baseball with my father-in-law.
Oh, were you?
Oh, yeah. We were talking strategy.
Really? Were you trash-talking at all? About, hey, we're the Mets. We're going to come beat you.
Yeah.
Don't make any plans in October.
Exactly. When I'm around my family, I'm Evan. I pick those seats out. I got to talk baseball. I got to know all the statistics. So I pulled a lot of them out of my rear end. But I have to be Evan when I'm with my in-laws.
There's only one slight difference, which is that I usually pay for the tickets.
Mm-hmm. Well.
That's the only difference.
I certainly got my father-in-law Father's Day card, which I think makes up for it. But no, it wasn't a slight. I know that's why Sean wants to pin me to that I'm, you know, knocking here. It's just if you go there, you'll see it. It's just the way even like everything's set up, the concessions, it's just a different vibe. And I'm thinking because they just won a title, the fans have cooled off, relaxed a little bit because I didn't see any of the stuff that, and I've seen that stuff stories too.
Nice. $6 as opposed to $300 per ticket.
I don't know about you guys, but if I was a Met fan that was told by a big Met fan to follow him, that he will lead us, the last thing I want to know is that my biggest hurdle between me and a World Series is a team that he's saying, place is awesome. Totally different vibe than New York. Doesn't sound like a leader to me.
Yeah, they weren't as loud as us either. When they were losing, they weren't like making noise. So it was this feeling of like they were full. So my vibes being there is that they're not as hungry. This is why the Mets have taken care of them this year. And they should be no biggie when they see them in October because the fans were actually, you know what they were doing, Sean? The wave, which is embarrassing. You're the defending.
Careful. Continue.
When you're the defending world champions, act like it.
Okay, we do the wave at Citi Field. It drives me nuts, by the way.
No, we don't.
No, I don't.
Met
you're
fans
right.
do.
I don't. You
I
don't. People do.
It's embarrassing. And when you're the defending world champions, act like it.
Well,
and
you're losing your board.
Right, they got the volleyball, not the volleyball, the beach ball going. It was like the Raw after WrestleMania. I'm waiting for like a chance at some point. I'm like, they just came off very like, we're good, we're full, we won a title.
Is this a ballpark or an amusement park? What the hell is going on out there?
Feels like it's an amusement
park. It's a different vibe.
That's why Tommy liked it. It was about everything but the baseball. Mm.
One thing I do want to ask you, and I did save this for Tommy, because I received an email a few days ago that I didn't think was right to reveal to Sean, or even Tiki, or even myself. I felt that Tommy was the real person that needed to answer this email. It's a concern about something that happened at a Met game. Are you ready for this? Are you prepared?
I am.
It was a real email. Got it at therico@gmail.com. I just think it fit better our show than even the Rico Bronya. Hey, guys, love the show, blah, 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 blah. I went to the Met game the other night. During the late-game rally, I noticed that the entire right field area, after Juan Soto hit his home run, featured a roll call. It started in the top of the fourth inning after Soto's home run. Mm-hmm. They started cheering his name like the bleacher creatures do, and then he acknowledged it, and they roared with cheer. During the late-game rally, the fans started doing it again to Soto. It isn't even the first time I've seen it this year either. I assume they're doing it to mock Yankee fans after they turn their backs on Juan. But then, once the Mets had the rally and they tied it, then they started doing it to Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz. I get trying to mock Yankee fans, but I think this isn't a great approach because it gives off a little brother energy. And it stopped feeling like they were mocking them as soon as they did the roll call to anyone other than Juan Soto. I was curious if you have noticed this weird interaction and if you think Met fans are ripping off the Yankees by stealing the roll call.
Hmm.
So I was at the game, but I didn't see this occurring. Actually, I was not at the game in question. This was the rally game that they had that I missed because I went to the complete game shutout. But I do believe him that Met fans were roll calling for Soto. Initially, guy thinks it was just mocking Yankee fans, but then starts roll calling for Pete and Edwin and believes it kind of spread little brother energy.
Hmm.
Tommy, should the Mets cease and desist doing this, or is this okay?
It's not okay. There are things that should be in the Bronx and stay in the Bronx that are the Bronx that makes the Yankees and their fans and the bleacher creatures them, and there are things that can make us unique. I hate doing stuff like that. If you want to do it to mock them, and you did it once, and you did it for Soto, I'm all for that. I could lead the charge on that. But when you start doing it for Edwin and Pete, it comes off like you're just, you know, a swagger jacker. You're just taking their thing.
So what you're saying is stand by and stand down. That is what Tommy
stand
is saying.
Stand down. This is war times against with Mets and Yankees. We have to stand down in that spot.
Stand down and stand by.
Don't do it.
All right. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, that sounds kind of weak. Now, if they were doing it to make Juan Soto...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Comfortable and it worked, then just do it for Juan Soto.
Yeah, once you expand it to Pete and Edwin, it's kind of soft.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, I've heard this before. Who else does this?
You got to do your own
stuff.
You
got to know, exactly.
Yeah, you got to do your own stuff. You know, it's like someone saying no biggie. That's Tommy's. You can't take it from Tommy. That's Tommy's thing.
You want to pay me, you can say it all you want.
Of course, yeah. Right. If that's, well, then you
throw me a buck. I got you for the Dodger tickets. My wife.
You got to copyright it first, which costs you your own money.
Damn,
and it's
right. Lawyer.
Right.
Yeah.
But I haven't deja vu or Met fans done this before.
I remember years ago on an opening day doing it, and I know I was certainly not a big fan of it, but I hadn't heard of it anytime recently.
You did it?
I did not. I would never do that. Hmm. Come on.
Well, just making sure.
I do it.
You said us doing it on an opening day.
Well, I meant Met fans.
Yes.
The only thing I almost did earlier this season, I almost did the wave. And I want to explain why I want to defend myself. I took my youngest son, Spence, to the game. And he was doing great. Like, it was a fun time. He's eating the ice cream. He's watching the Met game. I miss the Mets over there. We get to the eighth inning. It's getting a little shaky. He's 4 years old. It's getting a little shaky. Hmm. And I'm like, oh, God, am I going to get it to the end of the game?
Wait, not the game. Him.
Him.
Yeah, okay.
He's 4 years old.
Right.
I'm excited I got to the eighth inning. As the eighth inning is starting, I'm noticing, all right, it's again. And I see the wave. And I'm like, oh, Spence, the wave. Thought it was the coolest thing ever. So now the wave is coming by, and I had to make a choice. If I join in on the wave to get Spencey all excited, I got a good chance to get through this last inning and a half. If I ignore the wave and explain to him why it sucks the way my dad explained it to me, while I'll stay firm on what I believe, there's a chance I lose him. There's a chance I don't get through the game.
Smart.
So I put getting through the game first, and I joined in on the wave to get Spence through the rest of the game.
And did it work?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. He loved it. He thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Right move, then.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you exonerate me, Tommy?
No, wrong move. He's how old again?
Four.
Four. And don't most four-year-olds want to watch, you know, Wicked 600 times or Frozen 8 million times? You show him once, he's going to want to do it every single time. So now that you did the wave once, every time you go, dad, wave, dad, wave, dad, wave, and now you're a waver. You are part of the problem.
So my thought is, it's a fair point. My thought is at some point, if he gets into baseball, there's no guarantee he will get into baseball.
This is why he just takes Jet.
I take Spence. I take Jet a little bit more because he's into the game.
Yeah.
Spence likes the experience of the ice cream and the smells and all that. But I will take him to a few more games just by himself.
Was your wife with you at this game?
This was a solo game. Oh. This was just me and the little guy.
There you go.
But I think at some point, if he's into baseball, it'll be easy to explain to him how lame the wave is. But I'm not doing it now at four. Like, and I got to say, my dad probably didn't say it to me when I was four either. Mm.
When did you learn that the wave was lame?
I'm going to guess like 10 or 11. Hmm. Like, I think once I was scoring the game and I understood what was going on, my dad's like, look at the wave. Watch the game, you idiots. But I was 10 or 11.
Like, I always felt like it was cool.
Come on, Teague.
I swear. Maybe because I never had to do it. I was always just on the field when things were happening. But I always thought it was cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it looked cool?
No, just like coordination. But I also then came to realize that we must be boring them.
Exactly. They could just hit on
that. That was the problem.
The thing that's really cool, and I have to admit I was jealous of. Did anybody actually watch the finals last night? Anybody watch that thing?
No, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. The coolest thing about the NBA Finals in Oklahoma City specifically, is how they coordinate the T-shirts with the fans.
They do it better than any pro team.
They do it better than any pro team. And what they essentially do is they have a certain color in the seat. Every fan puts it on. And so when you're watching the aerial view, it's beautiful. It's like a beautiful kind of design.
Right.
We will never do that in New York because people, I'm not putting that shirt on.
Right. I spent 2 hours getting ready for this game. My outfit is specific.
Exactly. But it's so beautiful in Oklahoma City to see that kind of coordination. Mm. So that, I think, is cool. A bunch of people going like this. I'm doing the wave right now for the audio. Just standing up and like flicking their arms in the air. Like, ooh! It's the wave! Yay!
It's coordinated.
I don't mind looking at the coordination.
Did my belly just show?
I lost track, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Here's the problem. You also can't be wave guy, but then boo the person not doing it. I hate the peer pressure of being in a stadium with a wave.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not getting up, well, come on, get up. Do it, man. Mm. I've had that happen to me before. Mind your business. Big time mind your business. Oklahoma City, though, they get together and do it.
They all do it, man. Mm. And now they're one away from an NBA championship. Let's go to Mike on Long Island. How are you, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
What's up?
You covered so much in the time I was on hold. First of all, if you want to read a great book, if you guys are into books, Travels with Charlie by John Steinbeck, drove across the entire country with his dog in the car. second point, somebody has said to me recently, because I walk my dog every day, I love her. He said, if you lock your dog and your wife in the trunk of a car for 5 minutes, who's going to be happy to see you when you open the trunk? Which my wife didn't appreciate, but yes, as a dog lover, I did.
I think I'll save that one. I'll just tell CJ that. I won't tell my wife.
Yeah. But the real reason I called was, I'm not a big fan of all these new rules. I hate the Ghost Runner. But I particularly, for some reason, it was irritating me last night to watch the judge get walked with four fingers up in the air. Why don't pitchers have to throw the four pitches anymore? Who knows if they're going to throw a wild pitch? Or it throws off their rhythm for the next batter or something.
Yeah.
Why can't they just throw the four pitches?
So when they initially changed this rule, and they changed it, I'm going to guess off the top of my head, 7 or 8 years ago, mm-hmm. I agreed with our last caller. I was like, this is ridiculous. I mean, what? You never know what could happen. There could be a wild pitch. There could be so many different weird things. Once they started doing the four-finger walk, I got used to it, and I was like, you know what?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But they were doing it to speed up the game. Now that the game has successfully been sped up, the idea of throwing the four balls is not as bad as it used to be, but I just don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen that very often. But you saw what happened in the college softball World Series, right, with the girl who was trying to intentionally walk. There is no four pitches.
Right.
So she was no four fingers. She was trying to just throw balls.
Right.
She let one slip across the plate.
It happens.
And the game-winning hit.
Right.
And so it's... it's dangerous
if
you don't do it exactly right.
You lose that potential magic, but if we're being honest, that happens one in a million.
Of course. In baseball, it would never happen because the catcher like fully steps out.
Right.
In softball, they kind of just, this catcher just stands up and catches it off the plate.
Now, what you could do, and I remember seeing this in a highlight video in the 1980s, so I don't remember seeing it live, is the pitcher and catcher confuse the hitter into, oh, yeah, it's a touch. And he jumps back in and takes a strike. I think the only thing you lose from it are the boos. Like, when Aaron Judge was intentionally walked twice last night by Ron Washington, one with two outs and nobody on, one obviously in the extra inning situation, you get your quick boo and that's it.
Yeah.
But if you actually have to sit there and watch the catcher put his arm out and there be four balls in a row, the cascade of boos and anger is certainly louder.
Right.
But I have to admit, all the years have gone by without it, I don't miss it.
We have some breaking news surrounding the New York Mets.
The New York Mets. Is it injury related?
It is. We have a player heading to the injured list.
All right. Let me guess.
All right.
My guess is going to be Beatty because remember, he left Sunday's game with a groin issue or Saturday's game with a groin issue, and he's not in the lineup tonight. So I'm going to assume Brett Beatty, and this really sucks for him if this is true, is going to have his opportunity short-circuited by an IL stint. Am I correct?
Well, let's hear Tiki's guess first.
It's Beatty.
Neither of you are correct.
Oh, God, this is bad now.
All right. Well, Tylor McGill has been placed on the injured list with a right elbow sprain. Justin Garza has been recalled.
Wow.
I mean, you just gloss over the issue. Right elbow sprain?
That seems bad.
Yeah.
That is absolutely bad, especially because this is the first we're hearing of it, correct?
No other info I have other than right elbow sprain. That is what Mike Puma's calling and everybody else is tweeting, just IL elbow injury.
Well, Tylor McGill obviously was awful over the weekend, and I think we all just assumed, well, this is typical Tylor McGill. He has a good April, he has a decent May, and then he falls off a cliff.
Right.
But the Met pitching depth right now is being tested. The good news is, if you want to call it good news, is that Frankie Montas is ready to come back.
Frankie Montas.
Who is that?
Hold on. Say that one more time. I need to hear that one more time.
Frankie Montas.
That's it. He's Frankie Montas. Well, Frankie Montas is eligible to come back from the injured list, even though he has struggled in the minor league. So he could come back and make McGill start Friday night in Philadelphia if they so choose. And obviously, Sean Manaea is on his way back. But the pitching depth is being tested right now. There's no question. So that's a surprise. I guess we could have just surmised, hey, they'll make an excuse for 3 2/3 innings, six runs, three earned. But, well, Tylor McGill on the IL. We'll have to keep an eye on that to see if it is serious. Because when you hear elbow, it is concerning.
Right.
That sucks. So they, in this Braves series, have Peterson tonight, Blackburn tomorrow, Holmes on Thursday. McGill is scheduled to pitch Friday. They could pitch Canning on Friday if they want. So they're going to need to add somebody. Whether it's Frankie Montas. Play that again. Now that needs to be connected forever.
Frankie Montas.
They have to pitch.
Frankie Montas.
Thank you. Frankie Montas could pitch Friday or Saturday in Philadelphia. So there you go. Now I'm disappointed. I guess I'm happy for Beatty, though. I wouldn't want him going on the IL. This is a great opportunity right. for him. And so for him to have to go on the IL would stink. So there you go. Why are you smiling over there, Sean?
I'm smiling at the Montas.
You happy that Tyler McGill got hurt?
No, I'm never happy that somebody gets hurt at all, Evan. So watch yourself.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Right, Montas.
Let's go.
Frankie Montas.
I'm still trying to figure out who that is. I think I Gio? Know. I think I know, but I don't want to.
Sounds like Gio.
You think it's Gio?
Yeah.
I think it's Keith.
At first, I thought it was Bad Tiki.
All right, so we've got three guesses. We've got Giannotti, Keith McPherson, and Bad Tiki like is the me. Three guests.
Play it again. Hold
Frankie Montas.
No, it's I'm right.
Who is it?
By the way,
Tommy, you know. Who is
no,
it?
No. I know because I'm the one who cut it. It's Keith. It's Keith.
Yes. I've been sitting on that one for a few weeks.
I forgot about it, to be honest with you.
That's where I store it because I knew when he came back, I had it, and away we go.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff stored that aren't available right away.
Right.
Because it doesn't make sense. But yeah, I remember that, and I was like, that is so funny.
Frankie Montas.
Now I definitely hear Keith. I don't know why at first I was like, that's Bad Tiki.
And you thought Giannotti?
I still hear Gio. I don't know why.
Now, did he say that on purpose that way, or was it just like, you know, Montas, you know, sometimes you say it quickly and it comes out like ass?
I mean, he slowed down to say it.
Yeah, he's a Yankee fan, and he was Montas for us.
Oh, no question. And by the way, so far in his rehab story, he's been Montas, too.
Frankie Montas.
Goodness gracious. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys, I'm really enjoying the show. Evan, thank you for the shout-out before. So you're watching the Yankee game, and you see that Bellinger shot, and you say, Chris from Manhattan was saying balls are dying on the warning track.
Chris, yeah. Chris, right? You ruined my game last night because I can't tell you how many times I thought of balls dying because of your phone call that you made yesterday.
Well, I didn't mean to ruin anything. I was just trying to, like, just put points to the light on that. But, Evan, think back on this Met season. How many times have Alonso, Lindor, and Soto hit balls and go like, that didn't get out? I'm telling you, the fix is on, man. These balls are dying.
I don't think it's a fix because I did read the Athletic article about it. And it's just that the balls similarly hit from a year ago are falling on average 4 feet shorter this year.
Well,
and the drag is, I don't know how the drag, like the coefficient work. I don't know what those numbers necessarily mean. But it's really small. It's like hundredths of a point, but it makes a big difference in the distance that a ball will go. Now, I think it's probably the seams, and there's a quality control maybe issue, but I don't think there's an actual explanation yet for Major League Baseball.
And remember, if you're the Players Association, half your staff are pitchers. They would want a drag. Half your staff are hitters. They don't want any drag.
Right.
So I don't know why Major League Baseball would want to do one way or the other. Like Pete Alonso's conspiracy he laid out a few years ago makes more sense. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is going to be a market saturated with pitchers. Let's have the ball jump so they don't get paid. And vice versa if there's a lot of hitters. Now, I don't necessarily believe that, but I could at least understand that.
Well, who would you rather get paid?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, a hitter.
Definitely a hitter.
Pitchers get hurt all the time.
100%. We saw. He's already seen it this year. Blake Snell, right? Who was the other one we talked about yesterday, Sean? Blake Snell.
Burns.
Corbin Burns.
And not just her, Tommy John. Corbin Burns is out for a year and a half.
I know. So who do you rather pay?
No, I know.
If you're an organization, you'd rather pay the hitter.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, pitching is valuable, and you can see it right now. Like, look at the Met view on pitching today than it was a week ago, when all of a sudden Kodai Senga's on the IL,
right.
Tyler McGill's on the IL, Griffin Canning's not pitching as well, and you're looking around saying, all right, depth's being tested.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the Yankee side. You know, Ryan Yarbrough, let's be honest, like, he's not going to be some amazing story. Like, he is what he is.
Right.
So the need for pitching could grow as time goes on because it's fickle. It's the most fickle thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls. A lot of Yankee fans with strong opinions and Met fans. This is a big week that begins tonight in Atlanta. And I've been pondering the question that we'll discuss coming up. Did Game 161 a year ago conquer our Atlanta demons? Because every time the Mets play the Braves, those demons come back. Has it been conquered? Was that an exercise last year? We were talking earlier about the roll call and how Met fans shouldn't do it because that's a Yankee thing. You should come up with your own gimmick. Well, audio has been brought to my attention that I'd like to play for you guys, and you tell me if this is gimmick infringement. a crime committed against our very own Tommy Lugauer. As you may know, that during the Knicks' run, Tommy whipped out a no biggie.
No biggie.
He whipped that out after the Knicks lost game one to the Indiana Pacers.
No biggie.
Remember they choked that game away?
Yes.
Tommy whipped out a no biggie, and it caught on.
Like it was five. A biggie, though.
It turned out to be a biggie. That is true.
But in real time, it was well said.
It was very well said, and Tommy is run with the no biggie line. Is that no biggie. Now officially a part of your repertoire?
It's part of the lexicon of Tommy Lugauer, yes.
Okay. So yesterday, and I have been given full information to set this up, during the open of our midday program, BT and Sal were not agreeing with each other about the importance of the Yankee-Red Sox series. Brandon was very, look, it sucks. They played terribly. I'm not worried.
Right.
Come on, dude.
It'll be all right. Sal was very, hey, this is concerning. In that discussion, and it certainly sounded a little sarcastic, Sal was giving it back to Brandon. All right, so you're saying it wasn't a very big deal that they got swept by the Red Sox. And it came out like this.
Okay. So no biggie. Yankees get swept by the Red Sox, lose 5 of 6, no biggie.
Now, is that gimmick infringement?
I think it is intentional gimmick infringement.
Oh, you
so
think
no biggie.
That was he was mocking
right.
Tommy.
I think he's mocking Tommy.
If he was mocking Brandon and Tommy at the same time, that's impressive.
Yes. I give him credit.
I give him credit.
But that's intentional gimmick infringement.
I got to tell you, I think I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's brilliant.
No biggie.
He literally mocked two people at WFAN at the exact same time. He mocked Brandon with the whole, hey, right. It is a big deal. Sal was obviously wrong about right. that, but nevertheless,
right.
Eddie mocked Tommy's no biggie.
No
all
biggie.
All at the same time. What do you think, Sean?
I think that's a hell of a mock draft, selecting both of those like that. Ha, ha, ha. I do think, though, that you missed that joke, Evan. I do think that's gimmick infringement. And I think, though, that knowing Sal, he went to the positive Sal spin on SNY. I don't think Sal has earned the benefit of the doubt to assume he could pull that off. I think he's stealing Tommy's gimmicks.
No biggie.
Tommy, are you bothered by your coworker, Sal Licata?
No, I'm not bothered at all by Sal. I actually agree with Teak. I think it was a way to... Because I could see where I was doing the no biggie. Sal wanted to make, it is a big deal. Like, and we don't work together, so we can't actually yell at each other. He can't yell at me. So he's yelling at me through Brandon. Brandon's like the vessel and that he's using to get at positive Tommy because, in fact, it was a biggie. But at the time, it was no biggie.
If that's the case, and this is what is so impressive by his no biggie
use. No biggie.
You could tell he's agitated with Brandon
because
they disagree.
Yes.
And if he's still agitated with you about Knicks Pacers, he whipped out a no biggie to go after two people at the same time.
No biggie.
Right. And it's a different sport.
Yes.
So he's mocking your Nick no biggie while mocking Brandon's Yankee no biggie.
Correct. Come on, dude.
That's impressive.
That is very impressive.
And I think that's the brilliance.
Well thought out. Maybe we're giving him too much credit, but it's well thought out.
No, I think that's where he was going. And that's the brilliance of no biggie. It really gets under people's skin. But it really is no biggie. I can't stress enough that it's no biggie. Like the Yankees right now, no biggie. The Mets right now, no biggie.
Speaking of no biggie, Tyler McGill is going on the injured list. Would you say that is no biggie?
No biggie.
That's
you bounce
biggie.
Back.
Now, are we
what?
Ready?
What do you mean, bounce back?
Well, you get off the IL, you bounce back. Okay, no biggie.
Unless he has to have surgery on his elbow.
Well, do we have more details on this, Sean?
We have Tyler McGill at his locker addressing what is going on with him. Here is the audio.
During the game, just felt some pulling on my elbow. Mainly sliders, curveballs, fastball, changeup felt fine, but more so in the off-speed stuff. Kind of why I had, like, no idea where... Like sliders were going during the game. Obviously, hit two people, spiked 150 feet, and then hit Mangum in the foot there in the third inning.
MRI.
Yeah, I got an MRI. Just lots of inflammation around the elbow. It's kind of what's pissing off like the tendons and ligaments. So that's why.
All right, so there's Tyler McGill. Yeah.
So if you missed what he said clearly, he said there's a lot of pulling on his elbow. That's what he was feeling.
Right,
pulling.
Especially with the sliders.
So what does that mean? Think it's going to be bad when this MRI comes out?
Well, I have no idea. But listening to him talk about it, he sounds very despondent and down and worst case scenario-ish.
Well,
it wasn't like he was saying, yeah, I think I'm going to be all right. It was... I mean, he sounded despondent.
Well, his rotation spot was in a tedious position to begin with.
Right.
If he misses any extended period of time and guys step up and there's numerous guys who may get an opportunity out of this, he may never see another opportunity like this ever again.
And the plan for him is to rest for 7 to 10 days and then see if he is ready at that point to begin ramping up again.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll also see what the MRI comes back with. They're going to have to make a decision for this week against the Philadelphia Phillies. They have a few options. Frankie Montas is ready, except his last rehab start was atrocious.
Yeah,
so they could just throw him in there and say, all right, major league action, let's go. Nolan McClain, one of their top pitching prospects, has made a handful of starts at AAA and has looked good, so they could promote him. Now, that seems like a tricky spot. Here's your major league debut in Philly against the Phillies, but that is certainly an option. They could go back to a Blade Tidwell, who made his major league debut earlier this season. I don't think Sean Manaea is ready, so I still think he needs a couple of more rehab starts. So right now, I would probably, as
Montas,
I'd probably go with Frankie Montas.
Frankie Montas.
Even if that's what he's going to be.
Well, if he is, you pull him.
Yeah.
What can you do? But the Mets' pitching depth is being tested, and it's happening at an inopportune time because they are beginning a 10-game stretch against the Braves and against the Phillies, and they are on a 3-game losing streak. This Atlanta thing, I gave this a lot of thought last night. I have been one of those Met fans, like most of us, who is scared of their own shadow when it comes to Atlanta. I'm sure you remember my tone late last year and how I felt going into that series in Atlanta, in which they lost the first game in the most typical Met fashion, and then the games got rained out, and then, of course, the doubleheader was set up. And you certainly remember how I felt going into game 161. The history that the Mets have in Atlanta, whether it's Truist Park, whether it's Turner Field, whether it's Fulton County Stadium, is awful. And so I was thinking, did game 161 and how incredible that win was that enough for the demons to be exercised? For me to walk in there tonight as a Met fan and say, I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
No, I don't think so.
Are you saying I shouldn't, or are you saying you're predicting how I'm going to feel right now?
I think you want to believe that the demons...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Was exercised, but I think you deep in your heart know that it was a regular season game. High intense intensity, obviously a lot on the line, but it needed to happen in the postseason.
Yes and no. I think that was like a playoff game because it earned them a postseason berth, and they showed so much fight. I mean, they got shut down by Spencer Schwellenbach, who, believe it or not, they're facing tonight, and then they did this incredible rally against the Brave bullpen numerous times. They come down from 3-0 down, then they're coming back again after Edwin Diaz isn't covering first base. So, like, they made, or Ozzie Albies hit one off the wall. I'm trying to remember all those horrible plays from the 8th inning on. But I think I feel good going in. Like, I think right now at 440, I'm like, hey, the Braves are a flawed team. They're 8 games above 500. The Mets are better. I trust this team. They earned that trust from last year, even with the way they've played this year. So I think, like, I've got my muscles going into this game. Like, believing I'm not afraid of no ghosts. I'm over the Turner Field, Truist Park jinx. But I'm also very self-aware that as soon as this team goes down early, if that's what happens.
Meaning the Mets go down early to the Braves.
Yeah, if David Peterson gives up a home run to Austin Riley early in this game, and the Met offense is struggling, by the 4th inning, the ghost will re-enter my body. That's where I'm at. So I feel good right now.
Yeah.
I can talk a good game today, but I know that as soon as the Braves do anything that's eerily familiar to the past, I'm going to start to say, here we go again.
No biggie. I don't think that matters until game 2 of this series.
So they have to lose game 1 first?
Game 1's got to be bad. And then game 2, that's when Met fans will start saying, we're not over this team yet. Because game 1, it's just a game. It's just one game. But if it becomes the series... And now all of a sudden you're thinking, this team is 13 and a half games behind us, yet they still own us. That's when it becomes an issue.
Yeah, I'm not even worried necessarily about the Braves coming back and winning the NL East because they are further back.
I'm not even saying about coming back and winning the East. I'm just talking about how bad they've been this year.
Right.
And yet they're still owning you in one, obviously game one, and then in game 2, if the same thing happens, that's when you start getting
it. It would give me flashbacks.
Right.
Like, I take you back to last year, and I remember I was so pissed at Steve Gelbs, not that he did anything wrong, but I was, when the Mets lost game one and Steve Gelbs filed his report during the game, or it was after the game, I forget when, and he said, you know, this locker room is saying everything's different, so different from 2 years ago, blah, blah, blah. I got so mad at him because I'm like, nothing's different. The hell are you talking about? Now, luckily, Steve turned out to be right. That team was very different. And despite losing that game before the rainouts and losing in Milwaukee numerous times, they obviously responded. They won game 161. We all know what happened in the postseason against the Brewers and the Phillies. So he turned out to be right. I turned out to be wrong. But I remember in the moment after just one loss to the Braves thinking, it's the same crap.
Right.
So I think I go into this very important series, and it is very important on numerous levels, with a confidence that I feel good. Mm-hmm. I feel things are different. I trust this team. But I also know that within a very quick period of time, the old demons will come back. They will easily fly through my body. So, Tommy, you can say whatever you want because I respect it. Okay. But if you give me a no biggie tonight after the Mets lose 7-1, I will be one of the many people who probably at you by saying, shut up, you...
Evan, as you know, I am a new uncle. My nephew is 4 months old. And one of the great things about my trip was I got to feed him with the bottle. And as you know, as parents, there are times where the baby doesn't want the bottle. Mm. They reject the bottle. But you know what the bottle is, Evan? It's good for the baby. You're a baby. No biggie is good for the baby because it'll calm you down. And you go, oh, you're right, Luke. It is no biggie. We'll get him tomorrow. So you're getting that no biggie, whether you like it or not.
Can you have a quick conversation with 2022 Tommy Lugauer?
Sure. Let's get him right now, yeah.
2022 Tommy Lugauer?
Yep.
If the Mets lose 5-1 tonight at Truist Park, how are you going to feel?
Awful. It's a house of horrors. They never win in Atlanta. They absolutely always spit the bit down there. Ever since I was a kid, they stink. This is the start of it. They never beat the Braves, and the Braves suck, and they still can't beat this friggin' team, especially in Atlanta.
Don't you like positive Tommy so much better than negative Tommy?
It's funny you ask that. I do, but I realized in this last 10-second moment that anytime we need to hear the real Tommy, all I got to do is summons 2022 Tommy. And we will hear what he truly thinks.
I don't like that, the way you just phrased that. If you want to go negative Tommy, positive Tommy, I'm cool with that. I don't like when you say the real Tommy or what I actually think. What do you got to say?
No, I love that he summoned 2022 Tommy. My biggest issue with the last 3 minutes is that the guy takes a 4-day trip to California to meet his nephew, who's 4 months old. Suddenly he comes back and thinks he has the same dad story.
Oh, yeah, father of the year now.
Suddenly those are his references.
And I burped them, too, and all that stuff.
Hey, guess what happened? When the baby woke up in the middle of the night, you were nowhere to be found.
Oh, right? No, I was gone. I did not have overnight duties.
That's the best thing about being the fun uncle. Let's go to Todd in Westchester. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. I've just been thinking that neither the Yankees and the Mets are starting to now. Nobody's had that big injury that they can't come back from. Well, like the Yankees, Garrett Cole's out for the season. But Jazz Chisholm's come back. DJ LeMahieu's come back. Giancarlo's come back. I mean, Giancarlo's never come back from an injury. So to see him come back and even hitting, it's something else.
Yeah, I mean, both of these teams have faced injuries. Now, it may not have been the big one. Like, I think the big one in the case of these two franchises is Aaron Judge and Francisco Lindor. Mm-hmm. Or in the Mets' case, Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. Or pick one of your star players. But they've dealt with injuries. I mean, the Mets were without their best starting pitcher. The Yankees are without their best starting pitcher.
Right.
But injuries are a part of the sport. And a part of it is how do you respond to those injuries? And both teams have mostly done a decent job. Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Ozzy?
Ozzy.
Yo, hello, and congrats to Nuevo Tio Tomas.
Tio Tomas.
Good for him.
That's right. Good for him, indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Just picture him, his story he just told, breastfeeding that little boy. That's nice.
Well, to be fair, Oz, it wasn't farm to table. It was in a bottle.
But you were talking pets before, and I noticed every time Tommy talks about listeners having pets on one of his JV filler shows, he mentions dogs, cats, and gerbil. He doesn't have a dog or a cat. Does he have a quote-unquote pet gerbil?
I do not have a pet gerbil. It just comes to my mind when I'm doing the, as you call it, JV fill-in show.
All right. So you don't have Limmy Winks at home. There's no Tommy Montas. Nothing you have to talk about right now.
No.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. All right. Good. I was just, you know, wondering. But we welcome you back. Tommy Turncoat. Listen, if you love Dodger Stadium so much, and those heathens and malcontents who booed and hissed at Tejada as he laid on the field after Utley broke his leg. Why didn't you just stay out there? If you love the vibe so much.
You're married, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is your in-laws, are they Met fans? Do they root for all the teams you root for?
My in-laws are Dominican. They like teams in the Dominican League.
All right. Well, my in-laws are Padre fans. They're Dodger fans. I'm out there with them, so I'm showing them the respect of being out there and just being part of their vibe. I'm not going to go out there and disrespect them. You can at least understand that.
Yeah, yeah. So if you do decide to go full turncoat, and I'm quoting the great Clyde Frazier, so you have a place to stay. You don't need to stay in Ben Stiller's pool house or on Timmy Chalamet's freaking couch.
No, my
even though that would be nice.
No, my family in Beverly Hills.
Jenner walking in.
Well, that would be nice. All the Jenner. But no, my in-laws have a place in Beverly Hills, so I will be clothed and housed if I do turn my back, which I won't.
Beverly.
All right, yeah. All right. And hey, listen, I got a belated Happy Father's Day gift for Sean. So it's up to you when you want me to hit him with it. So you let me know.
Well, I mean, I would do it now because Father's Day was 2 days ago. What are you going to wait another week?
All right. I'm going to put a settlement on this King of New York debate. The last two football seasons, we learned that Tommy bases his expertise on the first name of the players, because he likes to live vicariously through them.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so last week, Tiki, and anyone else who wants to partake in this tomfoolery, last week he was talking about he didn't like McNeil because the guy doesn't, get this, smile enough. So who doesn't smile more than Aaron Judge? The guy's smile is big as his pop-up drops in the World Series. So based on Tommy's own logic, Aaron Judge, biggest smile in the world, he's got to be the King of New York, right?
Oh, Oz, I was disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. So was I.
That was a long wind-up. I
was waiting for it, too.
Yeah.
I was ready to be entertained.
Damn it. I was rooting for something there at Oz. Yeah. That was Volpe swinging at the first pitch.
Yeah. By the way, I couldn't understand what Tyler McGill was saying, so I was reading more information about this. He had the MRI. The MRI has already revealed no ligament damage in his elbow.
Oh, good.
So
why did he sound so, like, down?
I think first of all, he always sounds down. He's Eeyore. Do you remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
Tyler McGill's Eeyore. He's this big guy who does. And then I threw the baseball, and the slider was swung and missed. And, you know, now I'm going to miss a few starts. So that's just who he is. But the joint is structurally sound. He has a lot of inflammation, and that's why it's just rest right now. Mm. So my fault. I misinterpreted. Maybe people in the audience heard it louder and clearer than I did. So if so, great. So the way it stands right now with Tyler McGill is, like Sean mentioned, he's shut down for a week and a half.
Hopefully it's nothing serious.
Yeah, I mean, he could conceivably come back in a few weeks. And I seem to remember 2 years ago him having an injury maybe similar to this, where we thought, uh-oh, this is the big one. And he missed a few weeks, and he eventually came back.
Can I do MRI for dummies here? Because I would be the dummy in this case, and Tiki would be better to answer this. The reason I didn't think you were nuts, Evan, is he mentioned the MRI. He mentioned a lot of inflammation. Why did I feel like every time we get news about a lot of inflammation in the MRI, we need to wait for the inflammation to go down to see the actual damage?
That is true, but it also, the swelling could be distorting the MRI.
Got it.
And so you don't know. That's why you got to rest and then probably get another one.
Got it. And I also have this gem of a tweet from Mike Puma, which I think fits what we're talking about, who's going to replace. The Mets are evaluating options for McGill's spot in the rotation. They have not committed to anything. Team officials are, quote, rooting hard for Frankie Montas to show something in his rehab start for Syracuse tomorrow.
Frankie Montas.
Yeah, but
if he's not coming up. They're leaving him down.
Exactly. Then he's not going to make the spot start because if he's pitching tomorrow, the soonest he would come back on regular rest is next Monday for the second Atlanta series. So someone else is starting the Philadelphia game on Friday or Saturday. They could move Canning up to pitch on Friday, but then they're going to need somebody
on Saturday. But unless I'm doing my math wrong, because the Mets did have an off day on Monday, so the Mets actually could stick with their rotation. Hear me out on this. Peterson is today, so he could come back on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Canning could come back. No, I'm not wrong about this, the more I think about it. They're going to need somebody.
Yeah. But what does show something? Like, what exactly? Like, what is the stat line?
He's just sucked. That's the problem.
Right. So, like, what defines not sucking enough to bring him to the majors? You know what I mean?
Well, labor through three innings.
Well, I think the options are, there are three options with Montas if he sucks again.
Okay.
So, when you say they're rooting for him, they have to activate him. Like, his window of being on rehab is about to end.
Right.
Now, could you petition Major League Baseball for an extension? You can. I'm not sure they're going to give him an extension.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't Tommy John surgery. So either they activate him and stick his ass in the bullpen, or they activate him and they put him in the rotation, or they petition him,
right,
or they petition Major League Baseball for him to stay on a rehab start. Those are really the only options that they have. But if you're telling me he's still going to pitch tomorrow night in the minor leagues, that means the Mets are looking for somebody to pitch on Friday or Saturday. I'm just doing the math on this because they got Peterson, Blackburn, and Holmes, and then they've got Canning, who could come back on Friday or Saturday. Peterson pitches Sunday, so there's an open spot. Someone's got to make that start. And it's not going to be Frankie Montas. It's going to be somebody else.
They could do the opener kind of deal like we saw in person, right?
What do you mean? Oh, they could do an opener, yes. They've done that a few times this season, but it still involves calling someone up like Brandon Waddell. Right. And here's the problem. You're facing the Phillies. Like, these are games that, I'll say it, they matter.
Right, they matter. Especially because of the Phillies now 2 games back.
And there is a little trouble in Philly land. Nick Castellanos last night was pulled from a game and then made an inappropriate comment. He is being benched and kept out of lineup today as a punishment.
What was the inappropriate comment?
This is a team decision, not a Major League Baseball
decision.
Team
decision.
Any idea what, you probably can't say it, but any idea what the inappropriate comment was?
I do not say, well, I keep saying his inappropriate comment. He also spoke on this and said, I wasn't happy about it. I spoke my mind. He said that I crossed the line being Rob Thompson, so my punishment is I'm not playing. So
interesting. I got to find out more. I wish I...
But this wasn't an immediate availability. This was just on the field.
On the field, he said something to Rob Thompson.
Oh, so it may have just been shut the bleep up.
Right.
It's talking about being respectful to your manager. It may not have been... I was thinking it was something inappropriate.
Me too.
Where Sean would have to somehow try to do limbo to explain it to us.
Oh, but I'm
curious
too.
Saying it.
Right.
I would be gladly limboing. I'm not seeing that anywhere. But you mentioned the Phillies, so I thought it was worthy of bringing it up. Could be a little friction there.
And speaking of injuries, Bryce Harper is on the IL.
Mm-hmm.
There's that going. But yeah, this is a big stretch of games. More on why these games matter, why they're so damn important, and why I miss them. 888-808-1019.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.